You are listening to Navigating Medicare on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Now, let's welcome in Mario Vargas.
Good morning, Central Jersey, and welcome to Navigating Medicare with Mario Vargas. Through this weekly radio show, my goal is to provide you with a forum or a place that you can rely on getting information to make the complex world of Medicare clear and easy to understand, and more important, to navigate. And regardless if you're already on Medicare, turning 65 and going to Medicare, or you decided to work beyond 65 and now are considering leaving an employer or union plan and go on Medicare, or have been on disability for 24 months and going to Medicare, or even if you don't fall under any of these categories, but you know a family member, coworker, neighbor, or friend that is impacted by Medicare, you need to stay tuned. This becomes more important now in the age of the coronavirus, as so many things in our lives are constantly changing. In fact, as the cliche goes, the only constant nowadays is change. And folks, that is the only constant, right? And even though my show is called Navigating Medicare with Mario Vargas, right? Maybe I should rename it Navigating Omicron or Navigating COVID, because that's what it seems like we're living nowadays, and it's constantly changing all the time, right? But nevertheless, right, over 10,000 individuals are turning 65 every day. And now more than ever, really need to have the right information to make their health coverage decisions. And for those that are already on Medicare, these times are filled with, and even if you're not on Medicare, really, these times are filled with anxiety, fear, confusion, uncertainty, frustration, and all of that. Well, I'm here for each and every one of you, believe it or not, even if you're not on Medicare, because you must know someone who is on Medicare. And some of the information that I provide, actually, it really applies to all aspects of life. My name is Mario Vargas, an independent insurance broker specializing in senior insurance solutions. What that means is that I represent the major insurance carriers in the state of New Jersey and other states that offer Medicare supplement plans, Medicare Advantage plans, prescription drug plans, life insurance, final expense policies, and cancer and heart attack or stroke plans, and dental vision. I also provide insurance on auto and home. And after years of assisting individuals at their homes, conducting a free, no-obligation consultation where I assess their situation and provide information on choosing the plans that fit their needs, and making hundreds of presentations over these years, right, at senior buildings, lately more at diners than anything else, but I also done churches and community events. To this day, over and over, I continue to hear how confusing and at times how frustrating this all can be. And to show me how confusing, they tell me the stories about the tons of mail they receive starting months before turning 65, and even more after turning 65. And let's not forget the repeated nonstop phone calls that are simply annoying, and that just continues to pour in. Literally, I've been at people's houses and the phone just rings every nonstop, and I'm like, how do you put up with that? And they, oh, we're getting used to it. Now, this serves as the basis for why I created my company called Senior Health Navigators, with the main purpose implied in the name, to help seniors navigate through what can be a maze of information. And now with the coronavirus, anxiety, fear, uncertainty, and whatever other word you want to add to it, right? And that's why I continue to stay on the air week after, well, I stay on the air as often as I can, right? Because obviously I have not been on the air week after week, but that's the intention, right? And why you should tune in each time that I'm on the air, right? And to this day, I have helped thousands of individuals through a free, no-obligation consultation. And at the completion of these sessions, everyone tells me the same thing, that it was extremely helpful and that more people will benefit from the information that I have to share. So I listen to their suggestions and looked for additional ways to get this information to you. That's where Sister Jeannie, actually I got to talk to Sister Jeannie, one of my current members, sparked the idea and inspiration to do this radio show on what then was WCTC 1450 AM, which now is FoxSportsNewJersey.com on the 1450 AM dial in their sound advice section. You're listening to Navigating Medicare with Mario Vargas. You can listen to the podcast of the show on FoxSportsNewJersey.com, or you can visit my website at Senior Health Navigators LLC. If you need to contact me or have questions, you can call me at my office at 1-800-864-8414. That's 1-800-864-8414. Or you can email me at mvargasagency@gmail.com. That's mvargasagency@gmail.com. So every week or every time I get to be on the air, right? Now we're heading in. I'm still in year three, right? Because the completion of year three is in April, actually April 30th, which is fast approaching, where I provide you information that I deem of interest to you, right? Or what is happening around us as it relates to our life, and more importantly, Medicare. But please remember that the whole reason why I stay on whenever I'm on is that, you know, this show is your show. I welcome your questions or suggestions, and you can send them by visiting my website at seniorhealthnavigatorsllc.com. That's seniorhealthnavigatorsllc.com. Or email me at mvargasagency@gmail.com. That's mvargasagency@gmail.com. Or always, you can call me at 1-800-864-8414. That's 1-800-864-8414. The point is that you reach out to me in whichever method works for you. Once again, hello, Central Jersey and beyond. You're listening to Navigating Medicare with Mario Vargas. So in the world of Medicare, we are now, right? It's January 8th, right? January 8th. So we are in the what's called the Medicare Advantage open enrollment period. And you may say, well, Mario, didn't we just finish that open enrollment? Well, that is called the annual open enrollment period between October 15th and December 7th. Now, and that was for anybody, right, that has a Medicare Advantage or a standalone prescription plan, or as it would be traditional Medicare, right, Part A and B. Now it's very specific. It's targeted to those that are on Medicare Advantage plans, okay? It's very specific to those that are Medicare Advantage plans. And what that means is that if you're in a Medicare Advantage plan, you are able to make one additional change, right, between January 1st and March 31st. That's what that means. What this does not mean, and by the way, so you're allowed to make one additional change. And what does that change mean? It means that you can go from a Medicare Advantage plan to another Medicare Advantage plan, right? It means that you, if you're not happy with your Medicare Advantage plan and you want to go back to original Medicare, right, then you could do that. So that's another change. So you can make a change from a plan to a plan, Medicare Advantage to Medicare Advantage, or you can leave a Medicare Advantage, which then means that you go back to original Medicare and then you have to get a standalone prescription. What this period does not allow you to do is say, hey, Mario, I missed the annual enrollment period and now I do want to get a Medicare Advantage plan. I'm on original Medicare and I want to get a Medicare Advantage plan. Well, cannot do that. We cannot do that. Or the other thing that we cannot do is, hey, if you have a prescription standalone plan, right? Prescription standalone plan, and it's not working for you and you want to change to another prescription standalone plan, right? We cannot do that either. That's during the annual enrollment period. So that is what's taking place now in the world of Medicare. And I'm here for each and every one of you, regardless of what your situation may be. All you have to do is call me, 1-800-864-8414. That's 1-800-864-8414. Now, today, and actually for the next, today's show and the next show, I'm pretty much doing one big show in two segments, if you will. What I plan on doing is finishing what I promised you, which is a conversation that I started last year, right? Last year sounds like way long ago, but well, it was really just December, which was about maybe 3 weeks ago, right? Regarding the drug provision in the Build Back Better Act, which at the moment is frozen in the Senate, as there is one, let me not get into politics with that, but right now it's frozen in the Senate. No one knows whether it's going to be passed or not. However, some of the provisions in there are noted, are good to know what they are, whether they make it through or not, because at some point these are really good ideas that should be implemented. Okay. Also, as promised, I want to share the income-related monthly adjustments amount tiers, because I did share that with you that I will bring it to you at the following show, which is this one, which impacts how much you pay for your Part B premium, which is your medical portion of Medicare. But before all this, right, before I get into all this wonderful information, which will take me through today and possibly to next week's show as well, I want to delve into the nitty-gritty, right, around quarantine versus isolation. And why is that, Mary? Well, because right now, that's really what most of the time we are seeing on TV, on the radio, everywhere, that if you're exposed to someone who's positive but you're not, then you got to do this and all that. And it's so much confusion. That's why I was kidding around at the beginning of my segment that maybe I should call this Navigating COVID or something like that, right? Cool. Because there's so much stuff out there. And the CDC recently changed their number of days from 10 to 5 and all that stuff. So I am going to do my best, right, in what I know and the information that I have available to kind of walk us through what these things are to have a better understanding for myself, but also for you as well. Also, remember, along the way, if you say, Mario, I don't get that, or that's not right, that's not true, whatever, correct, I want to hear that. Call me, 1-800-864-8414. That's 1-800-864-8414. So that is what I intend to do. But as always, I want to say hello to my members, and also I want to say Happy New Year's to each and every one of you that's listening. And you know, this is great. This is the first show of the year, yes, of 2022, folks. We're in 2022. Happy New Year's to each and every one of you, and I look forward to another great year of sharing great information to you. So don't go away. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Navigating Medicare with Mario Vargas on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Now, let's get back to the show.
Welcome back. Navigating Medicare with me, Mario Vargas. You can reach me at 1-800-864-8414. That's 1-800-864-8414. Or you can always email me at mvargasagency@gmail.com. That's mvargasagency@gmail.com. So, folks, right before we jump right into all this stuff, I want to say hello to Gloria in Beverly, New Jersey, Elsa in Trenton, another Beverly, and Edwin in Pennington. I always love talking to them. Kenrick in Marva in Somerset. Iliana in Passaic, hello and Happy New Year. Colleen in Serville, and it was great seeing you back in November, Colleen. And Nick, Mary and Alan in Lumberton, great visiting you guys too. Rosa in Bogota, hello, and Sonia in Vineland. And for all my new members, I will say hi to you in the near future as well. So folks, you see the news, you either, because you can't miss it, right? It's either on TV all the time, or if you tune into your radio, and definitely in the newspapers as well. We now have reached 298,140,180,000 individuals worldwide that have been infected with this virus, of which translates to 5,467,613 individuals who have passed away. And in the U.S., that number is 57,762,144,000 individuals that have been infected, which the amount that have passed away now is 832,148,000. That's 800,000, over 800,000 individuals, okay, who have passed away from this. When you look at it more locally, within in New Jersey, we're 1,711,738 individuals have been infected, of which 29,209 have passed away. What's the point in this? I continue sharing these numbers because this is our current reality. Okay. Now, typically, I give you a percentage comparison between the last versus this week. Since I have not been on the air for a couple of weeks, those numbers look really high, inflated. But the main point of this is that these numbers continue to go up. And as I promised to you that I will share numbers until the numbers start going down. So far, the numbers are going up. Now, the if there's any new good news in this is that while the numbers of infected individuals is quickly rising, right? Because this Omicron, however you want to say it, is more transmissible, right? So more people are being infected at a faster rate. In terms of the number of people that are dying, it is that number continues to be smaller simply because this one is not as deadly, or also you also have more people that are vaccinated, because vaccines, folks, do work. They do work. It doesn't mean that you're not going to get infected. That's not what this intention of the vaccine was. It's just to make sure that people are not hospitalized or, at the worst case scenario, die from this. Now, when we look at New Jersey, statewide transmission rate, the latest that I have available, right, could have changed by the time I'm on the air, right? But at the time of the research that I did, it was at 1.71. Folks, this is the first time that I've been sharing a number this high, okay? So the rate was, prior to this one, at 1.4. Now, if it reaches 2, it will indicate that every infected person is passing the virus along to 2 people. That's what that means. And essentially, if you think about it, that's really what's taking place right now. Like, if you look around to your friends or your neighbors or your family members, that someone that you know has been exposed to someone who is positive, right? Now, the statewide positivity rate of tests conducted the last Friday that I had the information was that the most recent available was 35.86, meaning more than one. So 35, close to 36%. So that means that more than 1 in 3 people who saw a test on New Year's Eve, right, got a positive result. 1 in 3. This is in New Jersey. So the positivity rate has been above 30% since Christmas Day. And New Jersey has not had positivity rates hovering around 33% since April of 2020, when this thing first really exploded. So what that is saying, folks, right, translation, is that this thing is more transmissible, and essentially 1 in 3 people pretty much will test positive for this. Now, the underlining thing here, or the good thing here, is that if you're vaccinated, fully vaccinated, and fully vaccinated means 2 shots plus a booster, or the one J&J and a booster, right? You're fully vaccinated. The symptoms, if you do become infected, are mild, okay? And the likelihood of you being hospitalized have diminished tremendously. So that's what this is saying. But still, people will be infected, okay? Because that's how it works. So folks, as always, how has the coronavirus impacted your life? I want to know. I still want to know, right? Because often from time to time, I share with you how it has impacted my life. And all you need to do is call me at 1-800-864-8414. That's 1-800-864-8414. Or you can email me at mvargasagency@gmail.com. That's mvargasagency@gmail.com. So now, I know you say, well, Mary, are you sick? Well, I don't think I am, but obviously I sound like I have a cold or something. I feel fine though. And that's the thing, folks, right? That nowadays, right? Is it the flu? Is it COVID? What is it? In my case, as a few days ago, it's not COVID because I got my results and I'm negative, right? So it could be the onset of a cold or something. But that's the now reality in which we live in, right? Do I have a cold, or do I have the Omicron or whatever else that may be coming out there? So today, as a result of that, I want to spend time on this confusion, right? And the confusion around this, is it a cold or, well, I'm using that as an example, but no, it's really quarantine versus isolation, right? So if you're a person that's infected, right? What do you do? If you're negative, right, but you're around someone who's infected, what do you do, right? So these are all the questions that people are trying to answer and all that. And I want to approach this from the following. I want to start with quarantine versus isolation. So you quarantine, and by the way, my research or the information I'm sharing with you come strict directly from the CDC. Okay. I know some of you say, oh, the CDC can't be trusted, but to this day, they are the most database center of information that we have, and therefore it is, you know, I pretty much will go with this. So you quarantine where you might have been exposed to the virus and may or may not have been infected, okay? So that's what quarantine is. So when you might have been exposed to the virus, I guess someone else who is tested positive, and may or may not have been infected, okay? And then isolation. You isolate when you are sick or when you have been infected with a virus, even if you don't have symptoms. Okay, yeah, that's, yeah. Let me repeat that, because I'm sharing, I'm like, what? So you quarantine when you might have been exposed to the virus and may or may not have been infected. You isolate when you are sick or when you have been infected with the virus, even if you don't have symptoms. I guess for me, the confusion part here becomes the second part of it, right? So in the first one, quarantine, right, where you may or may not have been infected, because you don't know, right? You may or may not have been infected. And then to isolate is when you have been infected with a virus, even if you don't have symptoms. The thing is, how do you determine that you've been infected? That's the thing, okay? But those are the difference between those two. All right, so let's look into quarantine. So quarantine essentially is just a strategy used to prevent transmission of the COVID-19 by keeping people who have been in close contact with someone with COVID-19 apart from others, okay? So that's what quarantine is, to make sure that it doesn't spread. Because as I always say, look, this virus doesn't move on its own. It only moves with people. Like, that's it. If we stay apart and isolate or quarantine, this thing ends. But we're not able to do that. So here's a couple of definitions. Exposure, right? So that's contact with someone infected with the SARS-CoV-2, which is the virus that causes COVID-19, in a way that increases the likelihood of getting infected with the virus. That's exposure. Okay. Now, close contact. Someone who was less than 6 feet away from an infected person, laboratory confirmed, or a clinical diagnosis for a cumulative total of 15 minutes or more over a 24-hour period. For example, 3-individual, 5-minute exposure for a total of 15 minutes. Okay, that's one way, yeah. The other one is just the same person for more than 15 minutes. That's the other way. Now, who does not need to quarantine? Okay, this is a big one. Who does not need? So now we know what quarantine is, but who does not need to quarantine? Well, if you come into close contact with someone with COVID-19 and you're in one of the following groups, you do not need to quarantine. I found this very interesting. Okay. One, you are ages 18 or older and have received all recommended vaccine doses, including boosters and additional primary shots for some immunocompromised individuals. Two, you are ages 5 to 17 years and completed the primary season of COVID-19 vaccines. Again, this is where you do not need to quarantine. This is interesting. So, but we're going to continue with this, and also I will walk you through who should quarantine right after we take this break. So stay tuned, don't go.
You are listening to Navigating Medicare with Mario Vargas on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Now, let's get back to the show.
Welcome back. You're listening to Navigating Medicare with Mario Vargas. So welcome, if you just tuned in. You can reach me at 1-800-864-8414. That's 1-800-864-8414. Or you can always email me at mvargasagency@gmail.com. That's mvargasagency@gmail.com. So I was sharing with you the who does not need to quarantine. Okay, so the third one is you do not need to quarantine if you had confirmed COVID-19 within the last 90 days, you tested positive using a viral test. Now, having said that, you should wear a well-fitting mask around others for 10 days from the date you last close contact with someone with COVID-19. The date of the last close contact is considered day zero. Now, you also get tested at least 5 days after you had close contact with someone with COVID-19. If you test positive or develop COVID-19 symptoms, isolate from other people and follow the recommendations in the isolation, okay? Based on isolation, which I'll walk you through as well. If you tested positive with a viral test within the previous 90 days and subsequently recover and remained without COVID-19 symptoms, you do not need to quarantine or get tested after close contact. Now, you should wear a well-fitting mask around others for 10 days from the date of your last close contact with someone with COVID-19. The day of the last close contact is considered day zero. Now, on the other side, who should quarantine, right? Well, if you come into close contact with someone with COVID-19, you should quarantine if you're in one of the following groups. You are ages 18 or older and completed the primary series of recommended vaccine, but have not received a recommended booster shot when eligible. Second one, you received the single dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine, completed the primary series over 2 months ago, and have not received a recommended booster shot. And third, you're not vaccinated or have not completed a primary vaccine series. Now, what to do for quarantine? All right. Quarantine means that you stay home and away from other people for at least 5 days, right? 5 days. Days zero through day five after your last contact with a person who has COVID-19. Now, the date of your exposure is considered day zero. And also, you wear a well-fitting mask when around others at home if possible, because it's kind of tough to kind of stay away if you're at home, right, from others, right? For 10 days after you last, the other thing, what to do for quarantine is, for 10 days after your last close contact with someone with COVID-19, watch for fever, right? And that's 100.4 or greater, right? Cough, shortness of breath, or other COVID-19 symptoms. Now, another one, if you develop symptoms, right, get tested immediately and isolate until you receive your test results. If you test positive, follow isolation recommendations, which we're going to get to. I'll share that with you. If you do not develop symptoms, get tested at least 5 days after you last had close contact with someone with COVID-19. Okay. And then it gets into a whole nother if and then else. And here's what that is, that if you test negative, you can leave your home, but continue to wear a well-fitting mask when around others at home and in public until 10 days after your last close contact with someone with COVID-19. All right. Stay with me. I know. It's so, confusing. Now, if you test positive, you should isolate for at least 5 days from the date of your positive test if you do not have symptoms. Okay, so if you test positive, you should isolate for at least 5 days from the date of your positive test if you do not have symptoms. If you do develop COVID-19 symptoms, isolate for at least 5 days from the day your symptoms began. The day the symptoms started is day zero. And then you got to follow the recommendation for isolation, which I will talk about that. Now, if you're unable to get a test 5 days after the last close contact with someone with COVID-19, you can leave your home after day five if you have been without COVID-19 symptoms throughout the five-day period. And again, by the way, these five-day period has been modified. It used to be 10, so now they modified to five. Wear a well-fitting mask for 10 days after your date of last close contact when around others at home or in public. avoid people who are immunocompromised or at high risk for severe disease in nursing homes and other high-risk settings until after at least 10 days, okay? If possible, stay away from people you live with, especially people who are at higher risk for getting very sick from COVID-19, as well as others outside your home throughout the full 10 days after your last close contact with someone with COVID-19. If you're unable to quarantine, you should wear a well-fitting mask for 10 days when around others at home or in public. If you're unable to wear a mask when you're around others, you should continue to quarantine for 10 days. Okay. Avoid people who are immunocompromised or at high risk for severe disease in nursing homes and other high-risk settings until after at least 10 days. Do not travel during your 5-day quarantine period. Get tested at least 5 days after your last close contact and make sure your test result is negative and you remain without symptoms before traveling. If you don't get tested, delay travel until 10 days after your last close contact with someone with COVID-19. If you must travel before the 10 days are completed, wear a well-fitting mask when you are around others for the entire duration of travel during the 10 days. If you're unable to wear a mask, you should not travel during the 10 days. Okay. Do not go to places where you are unable to wear a mask, such as the restaurants and some gyms, and avoid eating around others at home and at work until after 10 days after your last close contact with someone with COVID-19. All right. So if you notice the theme here, even though for certain situations, after 5 days, but the greater theme here is 10 days, right? After close contact with someone who had COVID-19, all right? Now, what happens after quarantine? So after you've done that, you can watch for symptoms until 10 days after your last close contact with someone with COVID-19, okay? And if you have symptoms, you must isolate immediately and get tested. So in certain congregate settings that have high risk of secondary transmissions, like such as a correctional or detention facilities, homeless shelters, or cruise ships, right? The CDC recommends a 10-day quarantine for residents, regardless of vaccination and booster status. During the period of critical staffing shortages, facilities may consider shortening the quarantine period for staff to ensure continuity of operations. Well, and that's really what happened, if you ask for my opinion, right? That it essentially, in the beginning, it was always 10 days, right? And now this 5-day thing, I believe it's brought on by the some of the pressures from some of the employers, like the airlines, to reduce it. And here they are saying it, that, you know, in terms of critical staffing shortages, that some facilities may consider shortening the quarantine period from 10 days to 5. Now, decision to shorten quarantine in these settings should be made in consultation with government and all that stuff. So, folks, that is quarantine. And again, a lot of it, it sounds like algebra, right? Because if then else. But I think the common theme there was you got to be use your judgment. And the thing is, in most instances, you may not know. But once you know, you must use your judgment as to what you do. And it's very specific in terms of the days that you must quarantine yourself. Now that we cover that, let's look at isolation. Okay. So isolation, right, again, is used to separate people with confirmed or suspected COVID-19 from those without COVID-19, right? That's straightforward. So people who are in isolation should stay home until it's safe for them to be around others. At home, anyone sick or infected should separate from others or wear a well-fitting mask when they need to be around others. People in isolation should stay in a specific sick room, if you will, or an area and use a separate bathroom if available. Everyone who has presumed or confirmed COVID-19 should stay home and isolate from other people for at least 5 full days, right? And day 0 is the first day of symptoms or the day of the day, right, or the date of the day of the positive viral test for asymptomatic persons. They should wear a mask when around others at home and in public for an additional 5 days. People who are confirmed to have COVID-19 or are showing symptoms of COVID-19 need to isolate regardless of their vaccination status. And this includes, right, this is important, people who have a positive viral test for COVID-19, regardless of whether or not they have symptoms, okay? People with symptoms of COVID-19, including people who are waiting, who are awaiting test results or have not been tested. People with symptoms should isolate even if they do not know if they have been in close contact with someone with COVID-19. Okay, that's kind of a no-brainer in a way, but that's... All right, so what to do for isolation? I will share that with you once we come right back. So stay tuned. Don't go away.
You are listening to Navigating Medicare with Mario Vargas on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Now, let's get back to the show.
Welcome back. You're listening to Navigating Medicare with Mario Vargas. You can reach me at 1-800-864-8414. That's 1-800-864-8414. Or you can email me at mvargasagency@gmail.com. That's mvargasagency@gmail.com. So folks, I told you I wanted to get knee deep into this, and I did. And the last thing I'll cover on this for today is the what to do for isolation. And then we're going to get into some Medicare things, and even though we'll share the rest of the stuff next week's show. All right. So what to do in isolation? What to do, right? So you got to monitor your symptoms, right? If you have an emergency warning sign, including trouble breathing, you must seek emergency medical care immediately. Also, stay in a separate room from other household members if possible. Use a separate bathroom if possible, obviously. In those cases when it's not possible, like the bathroom situation, I know a situation where what they will do is just obviously after each use, it's a burden, right? But it's safety. Is that they will wash down or clean the bathroom after each use, and that way you prevent the spread. A little cumbersome, but that's one way around that. Okay. Take steps to improve ventilation at home, again if possible. Avoid contact with other members of the household and pets. Ooh, I didn't realize that, but yeah, pets. Okay. Don't share personal household items like cups, towels, and utensils. And wear a well-fitting mask when you need to be around other people. So that's very in detail, right? And again, it's a lot to capture, a lot to know. If you have questions, you can always go to the CDC website. The whole World Health Organization also has a lot of great information. But if you want to share anything with me, and I share with the rest the following week, you can reach me at 1-800-864-8414. That's 1-800-864-8414. Okay. Medicare. Yes, because the show is called Navigating Medicare, right? And today I just talked about these coronavirus, but very vital for us to know. So for 2022, the health savings account limits rise. They increased it to $3,650. For individuals and $7,300 for families. Now, the health savings accounts are a versatile way to save for both medical care and retirement. And in previous shows, I've shared with you that these accounts, once you trigger Medicare, you can no longer contribute to them. So it's a good idea to do a lot of contribution ahead of time. Because even though you can't contribute once you go on Medicare, but you can draw down on them once you're on Medicare. So why will you do that? Well, here's the thing. You can put in a lot of savings into that account, right? And then you could use that to pay for some of your health premiums. Could be paying for Part B, or you could even use it to pay for your Medicare supplement or prescriptions and all that stuff. That's how people have used it. So the key thing to know is that for 2022, they raised it so you can put in more into a health savings account. And that once you reach Medicare age, you cannot longer contribute, but you can use the money that's in the account. Also for 2022, the IRS defines a high deductible health plan as any plan with a deductible of at least $1,400 for an individual or $2,800 for a family. Now, a high deductible health plan total year out-of-pocket expenses, including deductibles, co-payments, and co-insurance, can't be more than $7,050 for an individual or $14,100 for a family. And this limit doesn't apply to out-of-pocket, out-of-network services. Folks, let me bring this in, because I did have someone that approached me and they wanted a high deductible plan. And pretty much I informed the individual, I gave him the mathematical reason as to why he should not do that plan. And thank God he listened. Yeah. And the reason I'm saying that is that high deductible, basically, it means that you will be paying, let's say in the case of here, they're saying that a deductible at least $1,400, right? That means that you have to come up with the first $1,400 before the insurance kicks in. And then there might be different co-insurance and co-payments involved as well. So you're putting out a lot of money up front. So unless you really have major significant ailments and surgeries and all that, yeah, but still, you got to put out $1,400 as an individual or $2,800 for a family. So just be aware of that. If you come to me, I will look at the reasons as to why maybe that may not be the best. But again, it's each individual is different. The other thing I want to share here is that dental insurance plans usually are described as either indemnity, right, which is fee for service, or a PPO, preferred provider organization. And indemnity and PPO plans differ in their basic approach, right? So put broadly, the major differences concern choice of providers, out-of-pocket costs for covered services, and how bills are paid. And usually, indemnity plans offer more choice of dentists than PPO plans. Indemnity plans pay their share of the cost of a service only after they receive a bill. Managed care plans have agreements with certain dentists to give a range of services to plan members at reduced cost. In general, you will have less paperwork and lower out-of-pocket costs if you select a PPO plan, and a broader choice of dentists if you select an indemnity plan. So again, it goes back to choice. What are you willing to not take, okay? Or dealing with that you want to, So it's options. If you call me, if you have any of these needs, I will walk you through that. Now, the last piece of Medicare I'll cover for you today, and then we're going to get into other items on the Build Back Better in as it relates to the prescription portion of it. And this last one is, what is a Medigap attained age rating? And I'm bringing this to you because as I enroll a lot of people in Medicare supplement plans, you know, one of the things is, well, what's the premium? How much is it going to cost me? And there's a couple of ratings, three in particular, but the one that I'm mentioning here today is attained age rating, which is the one that most carriers in the state of New Jersey use. Most carriers use gender, another one. So attained age rating is a rating class in which Medigap insurance companies, right, determine the rate based on your current age, the age you've attained. Your premium tends to go up as you get older. Okay, most carriers in New Jersey use both age and gender. Actually, there is one carrier in the state of New Jersey that only uses attained age. Again, it depends on each individual's case which one will work best for them. So that's what I have on that front in for you folks today. But I do want to Wow, so much more stuff to share with you. So what I'll do is I'll start sharing, and then we're just going to, you got to tune in next week, right? So I can finish the rest of the provisions on the Build Back Better legislation that's in Congress right now. But what I am going to end today's show with is the programs that help people, and also the IRMA, income-related monthly adjustments amounts. So to help with Medicare costs, right, low-income seniors and adults with disabilities may qualify to receive financial assistance from the Medicare Savings Programs. And the Medicare Savings Programs help millions of Americans access high-quality healthcare at a reduced cost, yet only about half of eligible people are enrolled. So the Medicare Savings Programs help pay Medicare premiums and may also pay Medicare deductibles, coinsurance, and co-payments for those who meet the conditions of eligibility. Enrolling in a Medicare savings program offers relief from these Medicare costs, allowing people to spend that money on other vital needs, including food, housing, or transportation. And people with Medicare interested in learning about this, they can call me at 1-800-864-8414. That's 1-800-864-8414, and or email me at mvargasagency@gmail.com. That's mvargasagency@gmail.com. So why am I sharing this? Well, a lot of people sometimes are not aware of these programs, and automatically some will say, well, you know what, that's for low-income people and so forth and so on. And while in part that is true, right, some of these programs, though, depending on your income, you are eligible. And they are tremendous help. For example, depending on your income, again, this Medicare savings program can actually help pay for your Part B premium, that 178 10 for those for that for those that fall under that income bracket. It can help pay for that. Also, prescriptions, that's where I've seen it work the best. These Medicare savings programs will help with prescription. Again, it's program available. Now, since 2007, a beneficiary's Part B monthly premium is based on his or her income. And with that said, I'm going to continue this next week, right? Because time, I'm looking up and wow, time has flown by. So that's what we'll do. We're going to do this next week. So you got to stay tuned. In the meantime, stay safe. Stay safe. This Omicron is transmissible, highly transmissible. So wear your mask, wash your hands, all that stuff that we were listening at the beginning. You got to do that now. If you want to stop in, I am at the CVS in Monroe at 306 Apple Garth Road. You can come in and say hello. If not, have a wonderful week and stay tuned next week.